Good morning, everyone. Happy September. If we haven't met, my name is Renee. I'm the campus pastor here at the neighborhood. And this Sunday, second Sunday in September, is when we kind of kick off and explain kind of where we're going for this year, what we're going to do in an intentional way over the next year. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So it's a really good Sunday to be here. So just dialing back several years, by the end of my first semester in college, I felt really crummy physically, okay? I had a headache on a daily basis. I wasn't sleeping right. I had gained a lot of weight, like more than the freshman 15 or however many you're socially allowed to gain. And I just kind of felt miserable in my own skin. And I knew exactly why that was. And it was because I was existing on a diet of Diet Coke, Cheez-Its, and soft serve ice cream. Literally, that's like what I would eat. And I'd throw in some salami for protein when I needed it. That's how I existed. And it was kind of startling to think that that's what I was consuming for months and months on end, because I came from a family that really loves good food. Okay, in my family, we know how to pick food, we know how to prepare it, and we know how to eat it. Okay, fresh fruits and vegetables, meats, breads, and cheeses. My mother is a French cook, and so my mom can make something out of nothing. Okay, and we were a larger family, so it was most cost effective for us to make our own food, to eat at home. You know, we were like making our own granola before it was like the trendy thing to do. Okay, so I know what food should taste like. But when I was a kid, as much as I enjoyed my after-school snack of like apples and cheese and bread, all I wanted was a fruit roll-up and a Lunchable. That's all I wanted. Because that's what everybody at school had, was a fruit roll-up and a Lunchable. And I had these really beautiful lunches, but I didn't care for them. I wanted a fruit roll-up and a Lunchable. So when I went to college and I was responsible for my own grocery shopping, I explored aisles I didn't even know existed. I mean, like, a Cool Ranch Dorito? Now as an adult, I can evaluate as a very poor choice, but at the time, it was really revolutionary to my palate, okay? And so that is where I discovered and developed my daily diet of Diet Coke, Cheez-Its, and soft serve ice cream. However, much to your surprise, I'm sure, that left me totally exhausted, had a headache, gained lots of weight, was totally miserable, and it was dumbfounding because I was consuming more calories than I had eaten prior to coming to college, but I was constantly hungry, okay? So I was just eating all of these empty calories, and I wasn't ever satisfied. And it was like a true example of I had forgotten how to eat well. For quite some time now, as your pastor and as one of the pastors on the Vineyard staff, we have become increasingly concerned that as a church group across all of our campuses and all of our services, that we are not eating well spiritually as a group. We are coming increasingly concerned that most of us are existing on some form of spiritual junk food, okay? Rather than the real thing. We are existing on a spiritual diet of Diet Coke, Cheez-Its, and soft serve, rather than real edifying food. Popular platitudes, opinions, self-help exercises, media has become most of our diet, and we've neglected eating really good food. We've forgotten how to eat well. We have forgotten about reading the Bible. And so we are concerned that as a large church congregation, we are not reading the Bible enough. We are not reading the Bible to be transformed by the Bible, and we are not reading the Bible kind of thoughtfully enough. And so we've been talking about this over the last few months as a pastoral staff. Like, this is what's true in our church. This is what we're starting to see. So what do we do about it? Because what's true is that I can stand up here and our other preachers can stand up here until we are blue in the face and say, read the Bible. And you would think, yeah, I know that. Reading the Bible is part of following Jesus. But instead of just talking about it, we've decided over the next year to throw everything we've got behind learning how to eat well, we're going to spend the next year intentionally in the Bible. And I'm going to talk about what that's going to look like over the next year for us. And so before you kind of start to think that this might be our own problem, only here at the neighborhood or within the Evanston Vineyard, it is not. People are less and less familiar with the Bible. They are reading it less and less frequently. And so researchers have started to study how people interact with the Bible. Okay, so listen to these stats. Less than 40% of regular church attenders read the Bible more than once a week. 1 in 5 churchgoers say that they never read the Bible. Fewer than half of all adults can name the 4 Gospels. 60% of Americans cannot name even 5 of the 10 Commandments. And if that isn't startling enough, some data also that terrifies me is this one. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. She's not. Okay, Joan of Arc was not Noah's wife. And then my personal favorite, which is so terrifying, is that a considerable amount of people believe that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. It was preached by Jesus. That's a really big deal. And this isn't just happening like in our, with the person next to you, it or in your own soul. This is happening like across the nation. This is happening, this is becoming kind of this cultural issue we have for people who say, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I'm not reading the Bible. We're not familiar with the words of God. We're not familiar with the stories of God's people. And people don't read the Bible for all sorts of reasons, okay? One of the reasons people will say is that the Bible is irrelevant and outdated. That's one of the reasons that people won't read the Bible. They'll say, it doesn't relate to what is happening in my life right now. Another reason people don't read the Bible is that they believe it is too complicated to understand. They say the Bible is cryptic, that they can't find what they need fast enough within the Bible. And another reason people will say is that the Bible is just a bunch of old stories and rules. The rules and the stories are impossible to understand, impossible to follow, and you kind of feel like you can't keep up. Some people believe it kind of reads like a manual, and for most people, they would rather just figure it out as they go along, kind of forget the manual. And I understand all those reasons for not reading. Those reasons actually make a ton of sense to me, because the Bible is a different kind of book. You have to read thoughtfully to understand what is happening in the Bible. It's one of the things that you read where you have to hold context of when the Bible is written, and then you have to hold your current context and somehow read thoughtfully in order to be transformed by the words of the Bible. That's a different type of book. The Bible is not often the book you read to go to bed with. You know, like the book that you read when you're going to bed and it like bangs you in the head when you're falling asleep. The Bible isn't that kind of book. You most often have to be upright and paying attention as you read it. The Bible is poetic and it's narrative. It's instructional and it's prophetic. There are genealogies and religious practices for chapters and chapters and chapters. And there are several Johns and Marys in the Bible. It is very hard to keep everyone straight. I totally understand why people don't read the Bible. But reading the Bible is crucial to following Jesus for lots of reasons. And so we're going to talk this morning about why is it important to read the Bible, and then what happens if you don't read it? What happens if you fall somewhere in the midst of those statistics of someone that rarely or never or not enough reads the Bible? And so the first reason that reading the Bible is crucial to following Jesus is that the Bible literally is the Word of God. The words of the Bible are not just the words of people who recorded early history and saw the life of Jesus. The words of the Bible are the words of the one who sent them. The words of the Bible are the words of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how 2 Timothy describes it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is God-breathed. The only thing that humans did was put pen to paper. But we believe that the actual words of the Bible were put into meaning, were put into sound through the breath of God. And so we hold it that way. We regard the Bible as the word of God. 2 Peter says this, "So we regard the words of the prophets as confirmed beyond all doubt. You're doing well by paying attention to their words. Continue to pay attention as you would to a light that shines in a dark place, as you wait for day to come and the morning star to rise in your hearts. But first you must understand this. No prophecy in Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy ever originated from humans. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction." It's a really beautiful imagery. The words are given by the Holy Spirit through humans that spoke under God's direction. The Bible is the word of God. And if we are followers of God, we need to read what he said. And the second reason that the Bible is crucial to following Jesus is that it is in the Bible that we meet God and we understand who we are. You know, everyone, if you are a Christian or not a Christian, if you've been a Christian for a really long time, or if you're just getting to know Jesus, we all have some mental understanding of who God is. Okay? Our experiences with like the wider church, our personal connection with God, what people have told us, what our lives are like, they all kind of contribute these little puzzle pieces, if you will, and they create an image of who God is in our minds and in our hearts. You carry a perception of God. I carry a perception of God. You carry a perception of God that has been formed by your own experiences and exposure to God. Right? We all have one. However, some of those pieces of who God is aren't true. Some of the pieces of who you may assume God to be or how you have understood God because of your experiences are not true. And the reason is the world is a messed up place. And so the world will often misinform our perception of who God is. And so we come to the Bible to meet God. We come to the Bible to reckon our perception of God and the truth of who God is. You know, have you ever tried to look at yourself through a foggy mirror and then you think, holy cow, someone should clean this? Right? If you're just relying on your personal experiences and the experiences of other people to inform your perception of God, it's like looking into a foggy mirror. Some part you can see the outline, but some part of the image is distorted. But when we come to the Bible and we look at the text and we hear the voice of God, we see Jesus interact with people, it's like someone begins to clean that mirror. Our perception of who he is becomes really, really clear all of a sudden. And so it's in the Bible that we meet who God really is. Every book of the Bible, every portion of Scripture helps us understand who God is. You know, in Genesis, we realize that God knelt into the dust and formed us. In Psalms, we hear about a God who rescued us, who stands in our defense against our enemies. In Luke, I hear about a God who's waiting for me, who's gone ahead and is preparing a place for me to come and to be with him forever. The Bible is where we meet God. And when we know who God is, we understand who we are. When I was in seminary, my first day of like this preaching 101 class, the professor said to us this. He said, if you do the Bible justice in your preaching, you will preach the same sermon for the rest of your life. And it will be a sermon on identity. The point is that everything we learn about God teaches us something about ourselves. So if we do the Bible any justice as preachers, we're preaching the same thing over and over again. This is who your God is, and therefore this is who you are. And so when we stand in front of the Bible, we look for who God is, and then we look for an example or a definition or truth about who we are. The Bible says, I'm a new creation, which is really foundational truth when I don't feel like a new creation, right? When I'm having a rough go of it and I'm not feeling very new creation-like, when I read that in the Bible, it reorients my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever's a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared and the new way of living has come into existence. That's a really good reminder when you're slogging through it. The Bible tells me that I am deeply loved by Jesus. Way more than the Jesus Loves Me song. Okay, listen to this. Ephesians 3, 18 through 19. This way, with all of God's people, you'll be able to understand how wide, long, high, and deep his love is. You'll know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. And I'm praying this so that you may be completely filled with God. If you don't read the Bible, you forget who God is and you forget who you are. Even worse, I would argue, you have a distorted image of who God is and a distorted image of who you are. And so we come to the Bible to get that information so that our understanding is formed in a really rich and truthful way. But unfortunately, there are loads of things that happen to us when we don't read the Bible. Okay? There are a lot of things that happen when you only eat junk food. Okay, so here are some of the things that happen. Here are some of the things that might be happening in your life. The first thing is that if you don't read the Bible, you will struggle and lose perspective in the midst of trouble. Jesus described it this way. Therefore, everyone who hears what I say and obeys it will be like a wise person who builds a house on a rock. The rains poured and the floods came. The winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not collapse because its foundation was on a rock. Everyone who hears what I say, Jesus, but doesn't obey it will be like a foolish person who has built a house on sand. Rains poured and the floods came. Winds blew and struck that house and it collapsed. And the result was a total disaster. The Bible gives you firm foundation for when the rains and the floods and the winds that beat down on your life come. The Bible is like, reading the Bible is like building your house on a rock. It roots you in what is true, in who God is and who you are. The Bible gives us perspective. You know, if we read the stories of the Old Testament, if we hear the words of the prophets, if we see Jesus talk to people, we gain perspective in the midst of our own trouble. This whole summer, we read the book of Isaiah, okay? And we had planned that like 6 months ago. We plan way out in advance. And we read the book of Isaiah. And no joke, each week I would open the text to prepare the sermon and I would read something that was happening in the book of Isaiah and I would think to myself, this is exactly what I just read in the news. It felt so similar. The book of Isaiah is like full of mass chaos and destruction and lots of conflict and pain and need. And so I would read the news and then I would read Isaiah and think, these sound eerily similar. We get that perspective when we read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, we lose perspective in the midst of trouble. The second thing that happens, quite frankly, is that you will not grow in your faith. You know, the Bible transforms us. It transforms us. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts as deep as the place where the soul and spirit meet, the place where joints and marrow meet. If you read the words of the Bible, it calls us to forgive and to love, to let go of bitterness, to stand up for the poor, to the oppressed, to fight for justice. The Bible calls us to give, to bless, to fight, to lean in, to wait. Those are all things that cause us to grow. Those are all things that we wouldn't often think of on our own self, in our own mind. So if we're not reading the Bible, we are stunting, so to speak, our spiritual growth, our own transformation. Because when we read the Bible, we are literally reading to be transformed. We grow and we stretch and we develop and we become clear reflections of Jesus. If we don't read the Bible, we miss out on a whole lot of wisdom and hope, comfort, peace, and love. You know, it's really, really popular these days to have things in your home or in your workspace that have like little sayings, right? You know how I feel about these things. I talk about these things a lot. I have these things in my own home, so feel free to point them out when you come over. You can call me on it. But let's talk about those things, okay? These like little plaques or like, I don't know, magnets or wall hangings, they're supposed to be like inspiring and light and kind of fluffy. I get it. I've got them. However, they are not always true, right? They are not always true. They're meant to be these little like bursts of wisdom and comfort and levity in our lives. But when you really read them, you think to yourself, cute, but not true. Let's use this one, for example. All you need is love. Good song. I get where you're going. Not true. All you need is to love God and to love others. There are lots of things that we kind of receive in the world that sound a lot like scripture, but when you try to stand on them, they sink. When we are not in the Bible, we reach for these little phrases or inspirational quotes to get us through the thing in front of us, but when we really try to stand on it, it sinks. When we don't read the Bible, we are missing out on tons and tons of wisdom and peace and love and hope and comfort. That's what the Bible is full of. God is offering in the scriptures all of these written, tangible reminders of who he is. And it's like someone that's just waiting to be picked on. You remember that kid in school who the teacher would ask the question and they're raising their hands so emphatically, pick me, I know the answer. And I think sometimes that's how the Bible stands on our shelf. Pick me, I've got something to say to you. It's going to change your life. I know the answer to this situation. But because it's kind of poetic, or the letters are really small, we avoid it. I mean, no joke. We avoid it. It seems too complicated. We are too intimidated to open it. But that's how it stands on our shelf. Pick me, I know the answer, says the Lord. So when we don't read it, we miss out on all that stuff. And we just start like reciting ridiculous quotes that don't actually mean anything. There's something to that. If you don't read the Bible, frankly, you stand vulnerable in front of evil and in front of lies. You know, we live in a world that's dark and it's full of evil, and as followers of Jesus, we're called to put on the armor of God. Have you ever read that in Ephesians? It says, put on the armor of God. And it outlines, the part in Ephesians, it outlines each part of the armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield. And the sword in that armor is the word of God. It is the Bible. It says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when you do not read the Bible, you've put all your armor on, but you have no sword. which kind of defeats the purpose of armor. You can only self-protect, but you can't fight evil or lies. You've got nothing to fight with. You're super vulnerable. You're just kind of waiting there to be like gobbled up by whatever nonsense swims by you. When you don't read the Bible, you have nothing to fight with. It's like, I don't know, I really like going to the batting cages. I really enjoy that. Have you ever done that? And so you stand in this batting cage, and the machine like throws balls at you, okay? And then you just hit it. It's really fun. You should do it. And when you do not read the Bible, when you are not holding your sword, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, it is like standing in the batting cages with no bat. Sounds ridiculous, but people do it. It's like standing there. And so all this evil and lies kind of come at us, and we've got no truth to swing at them with. And so we just get pummeled by this stuff. And so all of that evil, all the lies, all the things that that the enemy is trying to tell us or trying to convince us of, we just kind of, it's like getting a pitch to the gut. There's no truth in our hands to hit at it with. And that's what the Bible does for us. It arms us. It gives us something to kind of navigate a really messy world with. And the last thing is, or at least the last thing on my list, is that if you don't read the Bible, you're going to miss out on hearing from God. You know, as a pastor, one of the most common things I hear people say is, I want to hear from God. I want to know what God is saying to me. I want to know what he wants me to do. And we learn to recognize God's voice by reading the Bible. The Bible is the thing that helps us hear better. It helps us hear the words of God. It helps us discern what is God and what is the world. What is truth and what is lies. That's what the Bible allows us to do. The Bible is the transcript of God's voice in the world. So the more we know of it, the better we can distinguish what is God and what is not as we are listening to God. Psalm 119 says, "The unfolding of your words give light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and I pant. I long for your commandments." God speaks to us in Scripture. And if you don't read the Bible, you are missing out on hearing from him. Or even worse, you will mishear him. You will hear him wrong. You know, if we don't read the Bible, quite frankly, our lives are kind of messy and complicated and often in really serious crisis. God gave us the Bible so that we could follow him with support and clarity. God gave us the Bible so we could know who he is and know who we are. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to read it thoughtfully, with intention. So today we are kicking off what we're going to call a year of eating well. We're putting down the junk food and we are going to eat well as a congregation, okay? And so I'm going to explain a little bit about what this is going to look like. We're doing this across all of our campuses, in all of our services. This is what it's going to look like. We are going to start as a church with the Gospel of Luke and then Acts through Revelation. We are going to read the Bible starting this week until this week next year. So if you keep in step with us, you'll read almost all of the New Testament, okay? Don't panic. We have a plan, okay? Don't feel like you have to go home and read an insane amount. In fact, we've mapped it out so it is just 4 chapters for you a week, okay? And we've got a little guide for you. Watch. Sandra and Jose are going to pass it out. Just give people a chunk. All right. Take one. You can take 2. Take 3. Put them everywhere so you don't lose them. Take a picture of them. I actually took a picture of one to keep it on my phone. What? Technology. What? Yeah, I'll forward the picture to all of you. So when you lose this handout. No, just kidding. All right, so take a look at it. This is what it is. It's a year of eating well, a year in the Bible. So if you look at it, we're going to start 1 week at a time. And the idea is, let's look at week one. So that's the coming week. Okay, so we've outlined it in 5 days. And if over the next 5 days, so to speak, you're supposed to read 4 chapters. Now, think about your life. Kind of do what works best for your life. If you have a schedule in which 4 chapters in one sitting is what's best, then read it in 1 day. If you have a life where 10 verses at a time is all you can do, then read it in 10 verse chunks throughout the week. But the idea is that you'll do your reading throughout the week, and then you'll come to church on Sunday, and we will preach from something you've just read. Okay? We will not preach over all 4 chapters. We will preach a section of those 4 chapters. And what we're going to do on a Sunday morning is we're going to take a portion of that scripture and unpack it, like in front of you. So often what happens is I get up here and I preach a final product, right? I say, this is the text, and then I give you 3 things to learn about from the text. Over the next few weeks, we're going to do something different. We're going to stand in front of the text together, and then we're going to walk through how you unpack the text so that you can do it at home. Thoughtful, huh? I know. Teach a man to fish. So, and the idea is, let's talk about some things that may happen in front of a reading plan, right? Front of a reading plan is people often get way intimidated. Don't be intimidated. It's 4 chapters a week. You can do this. The other thing is, if you miss a week, don't give up. Either join in the next week for the week to come, or you can go back and catch up. The other idea is that, you know, more and more people that walk into our church ask this question: what do you guys do? Okay, it's kind of funny. People ask that a lot. They come into church and they say, so what do you guys do here as a church? And there's lots of things that we can point to. But one of the most kind of invitational ways for people to join our community is when we can all say, well, we do lots of things as a church, but this year we're reading the Bible together. And the idea is, if we have someone that comes on week 1 or someone that comes on week 23, they can join us where we're at. They can be a part of it really simply. They can kind of join in and not feel like they're working a catch-up. So, here's how we want you to get started, okay? First thing, go home and find your Bible. You laugh, but true story, bet you don't know where it is. Statistically, many of you do not know where your Bible is. So, a couple things, find your Bible. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles on the welcome table. Take one home with you. It would be my greatest joy as a pastor to have to go buy more Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible, if you don't know where your Bible is, take a Bible on your way out. Or download a Bible on your phone. I understand that sometimes works better. So find your Bible. Second thing is, pick a time and a place to read. I think the illusion is that you have to have the perfect time and the perfect place and like Enya and a candle. That's not how you read the Bible, okay? Do you know what I mean? No joke, this year, I'm going to do this myself so you guys can ask me about it. I would love that like accountability too. You can be like, Renee, how's your reading going? My plan is, I've been noticing I show up to pick up one of my kids from school like 20 minutes early so I get a good spot in the carpool lane. But I've also realized that 20 minutes is like this 20 minutes of quiet, where no one is talking to me and no one can interrupt me. And it's like this little like insulated bubble. So I'm doing my reading in the carpool lane. You can do it wherever it works for your life. The idea is that you do the reading, okay? Just do it when you can, when you've got a little bit of time, when you're awake, preferably sitting up, and can pay attention to the words in the text, okay? Third thing is use the reading plan. Use this. Sometimes when people say, okay, we're going to read the Bible, they start at Genesis and they burn out by chapter 12. That's ambitious, but just follow the plan. The idea is that this is really user-friendly and that it will keep you going, okay? And number four is use the guide. We wrote, and by we, I mean a really incredible intern of ours this summer, wrote a devotional guide. It's really good. I'm going to send you the link tonight on our neighborhood email. And it's a downloadable devotional guide that goes through each day of reading. It gives you a passage to read, a question to ask, something to reflect on, something to respond to, and something to pray about. It's super simple, really user-friendly, and again, the idea is that it's just a way to help you think about something thoughtfully in the passage. So we will have printouts of it at the welcome table next week, but we really suggest that you download it so you can have it with you. The band can start making their way up. All right, so what's true is that I'm really, really excited about this. I'm super, super excited about this. But anytime someone goes from eating lots of junk food to lots of good food, it takes a little bit of practice at the beginning, right? It's like coming home from vacation and you've just eaten tons and tons of garbage and then you're like, okay, we need a salad. This is how day one's going to feel. It's going to feel a little bit like a salad. You're not quite sure about it, right? You're really excited about it. You know you need it, but it doesn't always taste that great at the very beginning. But what's true is that the more good food you eat, the more good food you crave. The more you read the Bible, the more you learn from the Bible, the more you become familiar and comfortable in the Bible, the more you will crave that position in front of the Bible. What's really cool is the idea that we can all do this together. That we can stand up and say, this is what we've read. We can talk about it in our small groups. Our kids are going to follow along as well. We're going to talk about it in our sermon series. You can get emails from us that offer little devotional guides. We're going to do this together. The idea isn't that you're kind of sent into your own corners of the world to forge through this, but that we do this as a community. And the reason is we believe there's really fantastic transformation available to us in front of the Bible. And we want to see what would happen if we do it intentionally as a group. So we're going to stand and sing one final song together. Would you stand with us? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are a faithful God. Whether or not we've been reading our Bibles, whether or not we understand all the words of the text, we thank you that you are faithful to us. And so, Lord, we ask that we would know your faithfulness in new measure as we start this new venture this year. Lord, we pray that this would be an incredible experience of being transformed by the Bible and meeting you in the Bible. Lord, we ask for good kind of energy to start well. Lord, would you show us where this kind of works in our lives, where we can make space to read? Lord, would you teach us to read thoughtfully? Lord, when we are stuck, when we don't understand something in the Bible, Lord, would you give us insight? Would you give us wisdom? Would you keep us from giving up? Lord, we want to be people who follow you thoughtfully, who know the words of your voice, who know the stories of your people, to be transformed by them and to share them with others. And so, Lord, we pray that that would be our experience as a church this year as we learn what it means to eat well spiritually. Lord, we pray that this would really change us as a community. Excited to see what you do. Would you have your way with us? In Jesus' name, amen.